Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Come into this place and double portion the anointing. Double portion the anointing. Double portion the anointing. For whatever God is doing in you right now, whatever that is, and some of you may be in this room for the first time going, I have no clue what you are doing. You are safe. You're actually in a very safe place. Because we have a good, good Father, and I promise you, honestly, there are doors. I'm just being real with you. There are exits. We don't hold anybody. We just want you to know that if you're coming in here, if you check out that doorway coming in, it says you are entering a non-traditional church. We just party. We're the church, it's really weird. We're a church that just actually believes that you are the apple of God's eye. And that you really are loved by Him no matter who you are, what you've done, who you think you've been. You know, He loves you. Check out the Bible. This Jesus of the Bible. Have a seat just for a second. Go ahead and have a seat. Go ahead, I'm going to get you back up in a second. Just check out God's Word. Remember the guy that mentored me, Rex, made the statement, you know, the Jesus that he discovered was not of the Bible. The Jesus he discovered of the Bible was not the Jesus that he learned about all those stories from all these church people. The Jesus they taught him, it was this Jesus that said, you're bad and you can't do those things. The Jesus of the Bible is the guy that hung out with the bad when they did those things. And he loved them right where they were and did not judge them. Ask the woman with five husbands and the man she's living with now isn't her husband. Ask that lady. Read that story. Hey, you drink from this well, you'll never thirst again. She goes back to the people in the town. She said, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet him. He told me everything about my past. And what she didn't say, but this was insinuated, and he didn't judge me. You got to come hear this guy. That's the Jesus most people will come to. I said most. That's the Jesus most people will come to. The one that will love them no matter who they are. Because nobody has to point a finger at me to tell me I'm not worthy to be on this platform. Because I'm not. Paul said it this way. I don't think he was exaggerating. I don't think he was being humble. He said, I am chief among sinners. So that I love real. I love real. So would you welcome our senior associate pastor, Mike Alexander, to the platform.
I love you. Thank you so much for that, Pastor Barry. We're going to jump right in today. The title of the message, Now Serving. And when God gave me that title, and as we looked through what we were going to talk about today, the picture I was getting was if you're in a grocery store and you're at the meat counter or the deli counter, you know, they'll always have the little digital thing up there saying, who's next? And those people behind the counter, that's how they see the people that they're serving as a number. Now serving number 44. They don't know that person may have been a salesman who made a great sale, had a great day, and he's wanting to purchase something special to honor that. It could be a mom who's got four or five kids just driving her crazy, and all she's wanting to do is get her stuff and get out of there. They don't see that. All they see is a number. You're just a number to them. But we're not a number to God. Right. As we've been singing this morning, we are children of God. Right. And he doesn't see us as a number. Amen. Last week, Pastor Barry talked about Zacchaeus. And as we know, Zacchaeus was a tax collector who was as beloved back then as they are today.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The more things change, the more they stay the same sometimes, right? So Zacchaeus had heard about this Jesus that was coming to his town. And he wanted to see Jesus. And Zacchaeus was a short guy. The song goes, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And as Pastor Barry talked about last week, his way was blocked by followers of Jesus. They weren't trying to make a way for non-believers to see Jesus. They were more worried about how could they see Jesus. Zacchaeus' way was blocked. And so he climbed a tree so that he could see Jesus. And he wasn't expecting any recognition. For him, it was about him being able to see Jesus. Jesus spotted him right away. Zacchaeus called him down from that tree. Jesus invited himself to his house. I'm going to your house today, so you're gonna serve me. I'm gonna go into your house, and we're gonna meet. We're gonna eat. We're gonna spend some time together. And the people that saw this, the followers of Jesus, were upset. You know, in some passages it says that they saw Zacchaeus as a notorious sinner. They didn't, which is who Jesus was coming for. Jesus was coming for the sinners. They were totally missing that. They were more worried about themselves being recognized, Jesus taking care of them, and not Jesus taking care of someone who needed him the most. But we're going to go in-house a little bit today. We're going to look at a story of how Jesus served those closest to him, the ones that he loved the most. And we're going to read that in just a moment about how much he loved these people that were the closest to him. And I think sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, that can be the hardest people sometimes to show service to, because we set expectations of those folks. We sit and sometimes we're disappointed maybe. And it becomes hard for us to serve those that we're the closest to. And we're going to see where Jesus runs into that same situation, but he's able to look past that and to serve. We're going to look at John chapter 13 today. And this is going to be a little unusual for me because I'm actually going to stay in the same chapter the whole time. I'm not going to be bouncing you around today. So we're going to stay in the same chapter, John 13, starting in verse 1. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. Right there, we're getting an amazing picture of the love, the closeness that Jesus had with these 12 men. He gave his all his love to them. And we're going to see a very special moment that he's about to share with them. It was time for supper, and the devil had already prompted Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. So if we're getting ready to go into the special moment, we've already got a little variable in there, because, and we talked about this several weeks ago before they had entered into Jerusalem, where Jesus had told his followers that there was someone that was going to betray him. And going into this very precious and beautiful moment we're going to see, Jesus knows that there's somebody there who's going to let him down, who's going to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet. So Pastor Barry, if you would hand me that towel there for a moment. And I know Pastor Barry just said we're a non-traditional church, and some of you are getting a little nervous right now. I am not going to take my robe off. So we're all good there. But he took a towel and he wrapped it around his waist. He took his robe off and he took a towel and wrapped it around his waist. Now Jesus could have left the robe on. He could have left the robe on and done what he was getting ready to do. But the message just mean so much more, or carry so much more, because he wasn't going to be like a servant. He was actually going to take on the role of a slave, of a servant. And so as he does so, he wants them to get the true picture of what is taking place right now. And if in those times, when you have a visitor come into your home, their feet would be, we didn't have nice paved roads and sidewalks and that kind of thing. They walked on dusty roads. We didn't have great sewer systems or anything like that. So there's often all kinds of debris and that out on the roads that they're walking through. So when a guest comes into your home, you would have a servant, a slave, that would wash their feet before they entered in. And this is what Jesus is getting ready to do. So we get this picture of Jesus. He's kneeling down with that towel, and he's washing the feet. And then he takes that towel and he dries their feet. Begins to dry their feet. Again, he is being the slave, the servant at that point. Because what was important for him was for them to fully see what it meant to be a slave, to be a servant. Not to just be someone who was acting like one. Within the last year, there's been a local man named John O'Leary who wrote a book telling his story. And if you're not familiar with his story, 30 years ago, John O'Leary was a 9-year-old boy, and he had an accident in his home where he was severely burned. He basically had burns over his entire body. 85% of his body had third-degree burns. He wasn't actually expected to survive the ride to the hospital, much less make it much beyond that. So while he's laying there in the hospital, and John O'Leary was a Cardinal fan. His family loved baseball Cardinals. So a friend of a friend of a friend contacted Jack Buck and let him know about this young man. And I'll tell you, Jack Buck is some of the finest royalty we have in St. Louis. So Jack Buck goes to the hospital to visit this young man. He goes into his room. The young man, his face is bandaged. He can't even see who's in there. All he hears is this raspy, recognizable voice who says, "You're going to make it, kid. You're going to make it." And Jack Buck leaves the room. And as he gets outside the room, he just breaks down in tears because of what he witnessed, what he has seen. And he speaks to a nurse. He says, "Is he going to make it?" And she says, "Honestly, Mr. Buck, we don't expect him to make it. The burns are just too severe." Now, at that point, Jack Buck could have said, "Okay, look, I was contacted. I came. I visited this family. Kind of did my duty." And he could have just said, "I feel bad for the family," and moved on. But he didn't do that. He came back the next day. And he came back again. And when he couldn't come back, he would call. And he would send other people to visit this young man. And as time went on, he sent a baseball to the hospital signed by Ozzie Smith. And he attached a note. He said, "If you want the next one, you need to write a thank you note to the guy who sent you this one." Now, this might be a good point to mention that as some part of the injuries that he had suffered, he had lost his fingers. But his parents sat down with him, and he painstakingly wrote out a thank you note and sent it to Ozzie Smith. And true to his word, the next ball came with the same note. "If you want the next one, you write a thank you note to this person who sent you this one." So what Jack Buck was doing was he was actually investing in this young man. He was part of his rehabilitation. He said over time, he received 60 baseballs from different people. And because of that, he learned to write. And it didn't stop there. They just continued a relationship throughout the years. And John O'Leary graduated from college, and his family had a celebration dinner for him, and Jack Buck was invited, and Jack was unable to make it, but Jack sent a gift. And when they opened the gift, it was the Waterford Crystal baseball that Jack Buck had received when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. And with a note that said, "Don't drop the ball." And John O'Leary hasn't dropped the ball. He's gone on, he's become a successful businessman, inspirational speaker, a chaplain. And he credits so much of that to a gentleman who could have said, "Okay, I visited and I'm done with it." But no, he kept going on. Jack Buck put aside his celebrity and became a servant to that family and loved that family and served that family. Jesus could have just kept his robe on. He could have washed maybe a couple feet, and we're going to see that's not what he did, because he wanted them to get the true picture of what he was trying to teach them. Verse 6. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" So, you know, Peter's got to be Peter. Kind of reminds me of Eli sometimes. Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Peter was defiant. "You're not going to wash my feet." He's not picking up what's taking place here. Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you won't belong to me." Of course, then Peter said, "Oh, okay, that's the case." Simon Peter explained, "Then wash my hands and feet hands and head as well, Lord, not just my feet. Wash all of me." He wasn't getting what was happening here. Jesus goes on, he says, "A person who is bathed all over does not need to be washed except for the feet to be entirely clean." And we talked a moment ago about when you receive those visitors, it's their feet that need to be clean because of just because of what transportation was in that day. For Jesus knew who would betray him. There's that comes up again. Jesus knows that there's betrayal that's about to happen. That is what he meant when he said, "Not all of you are clean." After washing their feet, he put his robe on again and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing?" So there, he washed all the feet. And then and only then was when he put his robe back on. So we had a master who became a slave, and now he's back and going into a role of a teacher to teach these disciples. Verse 13, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you the example to follow. Do as I have done to you." I love the fact that Jesus is not a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. He modeled exactly what he was trying to get across to his disciples. He modeled what he wanted them to do. In the movie We Were Soldiers, we've just been talking about the ceremony we're going to have in October for our Vietnam veterans. And if you've seen the movie We Were Soldiers, it centers on the story of the first formal battle that the United States entered into during the Vietnam War. And the man who led them was a man named Colonel Hal Moore. So in the movie, Hal Moore is played by Mel Gibson, and he's got his troops and they're training in Georgia before they go over to Vietnam. And his Sergeant Major, played by Sam Elliott, there's a guy that, I tell you what, he really fits that role well. They're sitting there and they're watching two squads do a march. So they watch this squad over here, and the squad leader does what he thinks he's supposed to do as a squad leader. The men are hurting, they're tired, and he's in their face yelling at them, screaming at them, berating them. Not really being effective, though. And then over here we had the other squad, led by a young man. He gets his squad together, he has them stop, has them sit down, take a drink. One of the guys is complaining about his feet. This squad leader, he gets down. He takes that soldier's boot off, takes his socks off, checks his feet out. He's got blisters on his feet. And he says because of the moisture in the socks and that, he recognizes what's going on. He tells all of the men, take your boots off, take your socks off. We need to get you guys some dry socks. And Mel Gibson said, that young man's a leader. That young man there is a leader. He's had compassion for those that are serving under him. Verse 16, I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. This past week, I've been listening to a sermon series from Louis Giglio called People of the Fine Print. And what he's looking at different people in the Bible who get mentioned in the Bible, but we really don't know a whole lot about them. But if you dig in and you see what they do, the importance of the work that they're doing for the kingdom. My favorites are, it's kind of interesting that I stumbled across this because we were having some folks over last weekend and Carmen was all nervous about, you know, making everything perfect. And I go, Priscilla and Aquila, remember them? Because, see, they were all about just being hospitable, opening their homes, being available, having people come in. Everything didn't have to be perfect. They just had to be available to serve. And so as I read the list, there was a message on Priscilla and Aquila. So I'm starting on that one. Pop, hit that one right there. But I listened to them all. And while it's all different people, the message was the same. Folks that God used, folks that we don't hear a whole lot about, but God used them. And what they did was every bit as important as what Peter did, what Paul did, because they were advancing God's kingdom. Verse 18, I am not saying these things to all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but this fulfills the scripture that says, the one who eats my food has turned against me. So again, another little foreshadowing into the betrayal that's about to take place. I tell you this beforehand, so when it happens, you will believe that I am the Messiah. I tell you the truth, anyone who welcomes my messenger is welcoming me. And anyone who welcomes me is welcoming the Father who sent me. Verse 21. Now Jesus was deeply troubled and exclaimed, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. It's time now to reveal. We're going to reveal this betrayal that he's been talking about all this time. The disciples looked at each other, wondering whom he could mean. Now he's got their attention. I mean, he's mentioned this a couple times. They really haven't caught it. Now he's got their attention because they're all there together in an intimate setting. He says, one of you is going to betray me. The disciple Jesus loved was sitting next to Jesus at the table. Simon Peter motioned to him to ask, who's he talking about? So that disciple leaned over to Jesus and asked, Lord, who is it? Who is it? Who among us is going to betray you? Again, now they want to know, am I going to be part of something where I'm going to go against Jesus? Verse 26, Jesus responded, it is the one to whom I give the bread I dipped in the bowl. Again, this action is really important in how he's revealing. We talked earlier about him washing their feet as a slave would do. As a servant would do when people come into a home, he washes their feet. Now this action that he's taken is an action that is taken to recognize a guest of honor. When you have someone over, they take a piece of bread and they dip it in a bowl and hand it to that person. A person who is a guest of honor. And he's doing that to reveal a person who's about to betray him. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. When Judas had eaten the bread, again, I find that to be very revealing right there. He didn't just give him the piece of bread. He allowed Judas to eat it. Judas ate the bread. When Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, hurry and do what you're going to do. The reveal is complete. It's time for you now to go and do whatever action you need to take to complete this. Again, all this time, though, that he has been telling the disciples that someone's about to betray him, they said, who is it? It's the one I give this bread to. They still miss it. Verse 28, none of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So Judas left at once, going out into the night. They missed it. They missed the boat again. But there's more. Verse 31. As soon as Judas left the room, Jesus said, the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory, and God will be glorified because of him. And since God receives glory because of the Son, he will soon give glory to the Son. Dear children, I will be with you only a little time, a little longer. Again, starting to tell them about the death that's about to take place. He's already told them about being betrayed, and he's tried to warn them about a death that was going to take place. Where he's going to be leaving them. And as I told the Jewish leaders, you will search for me, but you can't come to where I'm going. So now I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Again, Jesus had modeled this. Do what I've done, what I've showed you. I need you to do this. You go out. You love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So here's Peter again. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? And Jesus replied, you can't go with me now, but you will follow me later. Again, Peter, he's got to fight back. But why can't I come now, Lord? I'm ready to die for you. Let me come with you. I'm ready to die for you. Jesus answered, die for me? I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even knew me. Judas, identified as a betrayer, and we know Judas went and he betrayed Christ, delivered him into the hands of those who arrested him. Peter, this rock, he's ready to fight for Jesus. But we know that he denied Jesus, just as Jesus had foretold here. And this was even, and Jesus knew this was going to happen as we go back to the beginning when he was preparing to wash their feet. He knew that there were going to be those who would let him down. But did that stop him? No. It did not. Oftentimes we struggle sometimes with people that we love. We want to try to help out because maybe things didn't go right before. And we're like, well, why do I got to do this? I tried. I can't do anymore. That wasn't the attitude that Jesus had. Jesus said, I'm going to wash these feet. I'm modeling each and every one because I love each and every one of these men. Even though I know they're going to sometimes take actions that are counter to what I would like. And we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Judas felt remorse when he realized what was getting ready to happen to Jesus. Tried to give the money back, the 30 pieces of silver back, and they wouldn't take it. And he just threw it down and left and went and took his own life. Peter denied Christ three times, just as Jesus had predicted. But then he also went on to become the founder, the rock that the church was built on. So when we're faced with those situations of folks that we love and we're trying to pour into them, we're serving them, sometimes there's some things we got to work through. But we work through those because Jesus, this is what he modeled. He modeled for us to serve each and every person, especially those that are closest to us. So when you're faced with that situation, just remember what Jesus did that evening in that very intimate moment that he shared with his disciples. So let's bow our heads and just think for a moment of those that are close to you, but you have things to work through. And again, remembering what Jesus just taught us here. And allow him to work through us to serve those others. Father, we thank you for this great message, this great example that your son showed us, modeling servant. Not just modeling, but being a servant, taking on the very nature of a servant, a slave, washing the feet of those that he loved, and instructing them to do the same and to go out and to love and to serve one another. And I pray that we can just apply that to our lives, Lord, that as when we leave today, that this message doesn't just walk away from us, just leave our minds and our hearts, but that you impress that on our hearts, Lord, for us to take those actions. And then as we do that to those that we're closest to and those that we love, then we would expound that, Lord, to serve all that you put in our path, Father. There are so many opportunities out there you have for us, Lord, and we just pray that we take advantage of those opportunities and to model you, as we like to say, to be Jesus with skin onto That's these
right.
folks.
That's right.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.